Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and in this particular small passage of Scripture, you are going to see four outstanding guiding principles of men in positions of authority. The guiding principles of kings, the guiding principles of judges, the guiding principles of commanders, the guiding principles of men and women in principles of authority. I say men because the subject matter of our text today is a man, and he is calling Israel to witness against him if there is anything that they have against him at this time in his reign and rule as a judge. Read with me now in 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 11. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. He is witness. Now in this particular passage of Scripture, Samuel calls all Israel to witness against him if they can, because he's getting ready to transfer the authority for this nation from the judges to the kings. This is the transition chapter. This is when they go from Samuel and all of the judges that were before him to Saul and all the kings that follow him. What's happened is that Israel has complained. The Bible says, Behold, Samuel says, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. That's what Israel wanted. They wanted a king. And the Lord said, okay, they can have a king. They've not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. And in spite of that, Samuel wants to make sure that when he finishes up his tenure as judge over Israel, nobody will be able to say after he's gone, well, you know what, he wasn't a very good judge, and that's why we had to get a king over us. Because if he had been a good judge, we wouldn't have done that. He wanted to make sure they didn't have that accusation. He came up under Eli. He wanted to make sure that he had no association between him and Eli, that people understood he was far different than Eli was in the way that Eli handled his particular rule and reign as judge over Israel. All right? So what does he say? He says, I want you to witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed in verse 3. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded, or whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And when he asks those questions of Israel, he establishes four guiding principles for every man in a position of authority. Principal of a school, head of a household, a man in a government office, commander, an executive, a chief executive, a man in a position of authority has to always ask himself these four questions. How am I using my position of authority to take advantage of the people over whom I have the authority? That's what's going on here. In the position of the authority that Samuel had, he had the opportunity to take something from somebody, to defraud, to oppress, and receive a bribe and blind his eyes therewith. And he didn't do it. He did not do it. All right, the first principle then deals with covetousness. And he was not covetous. Okay? You see, in the position of authority, it is very easy for a covetous man to use that position to further his, what do they say, feather his own nest, further his own causes, make himself rich, see something that he wants and desires, and then use the position that he has to arrange things judiciously or legislatively or some other way, financially, to benefit himself. And he says, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? You know, the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. And if you'll go back and remember, Jethro, father-in-law to Moses, had made a recommendation to Moses back in the book of Exodus when he saw how busy Moses was. He made a recommendation to him and said, you know what, you're going to wear away judging these people. You need some help. What you need to do is you need to get you some elders, and I think the number was 70. We're talking Exodus 18 now. You need to get some guys to help you out because there's no way you're going to keep up with all of the stuff that has to be done for these people. There are too many of them. So let your judges handle the smaller matters, and whenever there's a bigger matter and they've got to find out what God has to say about this matter, then you get involved, okay? Exodus chapter 18, verse 19, hearken now unto my voice, Jethro says, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, watch it, such as fear God, men of truth, here it is, hating covetousness. Do you see that? Hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. You see, the idea is that Moses was in such a high-ranking position of authority with Israel at this time that he could have, in the name of God Almighty, said to the people in Israel, listen, listen, God wants you to do this for me, whatever that may be, and give me some money. Give me your possessions. Give me your land. Give me your crops. Give me your children, whatever the case may be. But if the man hates covetousness, he won't take them, you see. And that's what's so very, very important. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. And we'll look at verse 18 for the context. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And we'll look at verses 18 and 19. So you'll see how this goes. Okay? The last place where we were, so you'll remember, is Exodus chapter 18. And the verse we looked at there was verse 21. Okay, now in Deuteronomy 16, look at verses 18 and 19. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the mind, the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. All right, and you're going to see this actually coming under this bribe thing. But notice... a covetous man would look for a way to use his position of authority in order to line his own pockets, and a man who hated covetousness would not do that. And Samuel said, bear witness. And you know what they said? The Lord is witness. And you know what they said? You didn't take an ox or an ass. You didn't covet our stuff. That's the first thing. The second thing is, he asked this question, whom have I defrauded? Whom have I defrauded? Now, there would be to use the position of authority, not so much for personal gain and desires, okay? But not defrauding somebody would mean that you're not using your position to commit a fraud against them, or to do something, okay, that would be beneficial to somebody else, perhaps, that would mislead in any way, or use guile in any way, or use, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, uncleanness in any way, in order to perpetrate a fraud, in order to make people think you're trying to do something one way, when in fact your purpose for doing it is totally different, whatever the case may be, whether you benefit personally from it or not. He said, I didn't defraud anybody. Whom have I defrauded? Now, what are you dealing with in a situation where you've got defrauding going on? Well, simply, you're saying something to whomever is under your authority that isn't true. Okay? You're leading them to believe that you are handling a particular situation, making a particular law, making a particular judgment, one way for a particular purpose, when in fact you have another motive, a different desire. You're trying to accomplish something else, but you don't want them to know that you're accomplishing that other thing. Okay? And so consequently, basically, if you want to make it very simple, you're lying. Okay? And he says, a man, this is way that you get this principle. So Samuel said, I didn't do that. But I'm going to ask you if you can witness against me whether or not I've done that. And you know what he said? They said, thou hast not defrauded us. You didn't do that. You didn't commit a fraud. Now look at the next one. He said, whom have I oppressed? Whom have I oppressed? And their answer was, you have not oppressed us, in verse 4. Okay? Now what is that? That's a situation where the person uses his position of authority now for subversion, to put the people down, to gain so much control of them that they cannot function properly. To, like Pharaoh did to the Jews who were made slaves after, you know, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph and other pharaohs had died. They oppressed Israel and made slaves out of them so that they could control them. They said, you know, we're going to have some enemies that come here to fight with us. And when they come to fight with us, we don't want these Jews to team up with them against us. So what we need to do is we need to put them down, and that way we'll have control over them, and they won't line up against us with our enemies. They oppress them. They kill their babies. They enslave them. And when the Jews were simply responding to the leadership of Moses, and Moses was requesting that they go out into the wilderness to be able to sacrifice unto the Lord, 3 days' journey, Pharaoh said, you're idle. You have too much time on your hands. We don't need to be providing you with straw anymore to make bricks. You go out and get your own. And the tale of bricks, in other words, the amount of bricks that you've been producing while we were providing the straw, you're going to have to continue to produce while you're out looking for the straw for yourselves. So he basically increased the workload to further put the people down, to punish them for requesting to go into the wilderness to sacrifice unto the Lord a 3 days' journey. He oppressed them. All right, and then the final thing that Samuel asked here is this. He said, of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. That is, the ox that I've taken, or the ass that I've taken, or anything that I've gotten by fraud, or anything that I've gotten by oppression, or anything that I've gotten by a bribe. And they said, well, verse 4, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. That is, you haven't received a bribe. Now, that bribe is a very typical problem for people in positions of authority, because the person in the position of authority is ultimately the ruler. And if you bribe him to rule in your favor, it is a win-win situation for the two of you. He gets money or possessions. You get the judgment you wanted, and the poor guy that the judgment came against is the only loser, but you didn't care about him anyway. And neither did the person in the position of authority, because you two survive and that other guy goes away. That's the intention. The bribe will blind the eyes, as we saw there in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 19. As we said, he said, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. There's a silly story about that, but a fellow came and talked to the judge, and the outcome of the case was very important to him. And the judge said to him, well, what's it worth to you? And the fellow said, it's worth any amount of money you want. And the judge said, how about $25,000? He said, not a problem at all. And so the poor guy gave him $25,000 to render the judgment in his favor, and went to the courtroom with confidence that the judge would rule in his favor. Well, when the judge handed down the judgment, he ruled against him. And I'm telling you, this guy blurted out. He couldn't contain himself. He ran up to the bench and he said, judge, I gave you $25,000 to rule in my favor. What were you thinking? He said, well, that guy gave me $50,000. That's what I was thinking. You see, if a man can be bought for a price, he can be bought for any price, and the price that someone else is willing to pay might be more than the price you're willing to pay. And if you have a man in a position of judgment who can be bribed by money, then you got a problem, a big problem. So those are the four guiding principles for men in authority. They hate covetousness. They don't defraud. They don't oppress, and they don't take bribes. Now, what you should do is you should go through modern history, if you want, or even ancient history, and look at world rulers and see if they followed these guiding principles. And, you know, they wouldn't have expressions that are common to us in our conversation, like power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They wouldn't have statements like that if there weren't truth to those statements. Those statements were born out of the practices of men. All right, if you think about Uganda, for instance, and you think about Idi Amin, I think the amount of people that were killed there were 300,000 people. You know what that was all about? That was a man in a position of authority using his position of authority and his command over the military and his command over the governmental offices to oppress the people in the country so that he could rule without opposition. These dictators that have fallen in these countries of late, where they've had uprisings among their people, and even foreign countries like our country helped in Libya with the overthrow. All right, when you have those kinds of situations, you know what happens? The people have been under the domination of a dictator for so long until they cannot stand it anymore. They feel oppressed, and rather than be subverted to the point of total passive compliance, which they had been for decades, they finally decided to rise up and say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore. All right, if you look at the situation, for instance, in Zimbabwe, and you see the rampant inflation that is there, and you see the continuation of the leadership that is there, what are you looking at? Well, you're looking at a number of things, but basically you've got a fella that is covetous, among other things. And so he oppresses the people until basically the country goes into bankruptcy and poverty, and people are so poor and oppressed. And this guy is filthy rich. filthy rich. You look during World War II at what Hitler did in Germany, and he decides that he's going to eliminate an entire race of people through Arianism. What do you say? What is that? That is a man in a position of authority that is not guided by these principles. Listen, when you have men that are in positions of authority and they have to raise money in order to get into those positions of authority, I don't care what kind of man that is or what kind of woman that is or what that person is willing to say or not say to you whenever he is campaigning. He is going to have to demonstrate some loyalty to the money that got him into the office. Or she is going to have to demonstrate some loyalty to the money that got her into the office. There's just no other way about it. Special interest groups and PACs and unions and so forth, where great sums of money are contributed to elect a particular judge or a particular candidate, the man or the woman in the office may have an excellent ability to speak. The person may have really a clean financial record personally, but they owe something to the people that contributed that level of money to get them into that office. And while that may not be the George Parr type under the table bribe, all right, for covetousness, it is nevertheless a gift that will pervert judgment, because you listen, they just don't make men and women like this. As a general rule, you cannot go into your legislative action, your position of authority, without trying in some way to do a political favor for the person who paid the money to help you get the votes. Our system is broken. That's what makes it so very difficult to practice in that system. The people that are in positions of authority get wealthier. The people that are in positions of authority oftentimes have to say something that is politically correct, that is not the truth, that leads you to think they are trying to do something that will benefit you and the great majority of people, but there is another motive. And no matter what they call that, political speak or double speak or whatever, it is many times, it is defrauding people. I've said something that's not true. You believed me. I sold this thing to you because it's supposed to be good for you. But in the end, what happens? The government becomes more oppressive and just becomes more involved in everything you do. You've seen it if you go back and you just track the history of our country and our relationship to men and women in positions of authority. They don't all practice these principles. That's right. When you're thinking about what you're going to do in politics, when you're thinking about what you're going to do in your business, and you're thinking about the type of people that you want to promote into positions of authority, you know what you need to be looking for? You need to be looking for men and women who are not covetous. You need to be looking for men and women who do not defraud. You need to be looking for men and women who will not use the position of authority to oppress. You need to be looking for men and women who cannot be bought with a gift. That's right. And that's what Samuel said. He said, I'm not like Eli and his boys. They oppressed you. They defrauded you. They took your oxen and your asses. They received bribes. I'm not like my own sons. His own sons, Samuel's own sons, took bribes. He said, I'm not like that. In so many words. If you read back there in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and you look at verse 3, They turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. That's Saul's own sons, Samuel's own sons. He said, I'm not like them. He said, you know what? I'm not going to be like your king either, because your king is going to oppress you. He'd already told them that. Your king is going to take your land, your oxen, your asses, your sheep for himself, your fields, because he's not going to be able to resist. He's covetous. He's going to be perverted by gifts. He's going to pervert judgment based on monetary gain. He's going to oppress you. That's what he's saying. I am the last of the good guys. That's what he's saying. Now, you know something? The kind of man that Samuel was and the kind of men that are in positions of authority today are, generally speaking, not the same kinds of people. Sad commentary on men and women in positions of authority, but I'll tell you what. If you are somebody who wants to be known as a person with a good report and remembered as having been in a position of authority with high integrity, you do like Samuel. Don't covet, don't defraud, don't oppress, and don't take bribes, and you'll be fine. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.